If you have your Bibles tonight, and I hope that you do, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I recently read about a book called The Year of Living Biblically. The author, A.J. Jacob, is not a Christian. He describes himself as a Jewish agnostic. He says, I'm officially Jewish, but only Jewish in the same way Olive Garden is an Italian restaurant. So this man is an unbeliever. The book is the story of a year in his life where he attempts to follow every rule in the Bible as literally as possible. He begins the year by reading it from cover to cover, writing down every single directive that he could find, and then trying to live those things out for a year while living in Manhattan. Mr. Jacob stopped wearing clothes made of any mixed fibers. In accordance with the Levitical law, he stopped shaving the edges of his beard and looked like one of those guys from Duck Dynasty. He refused to shake hands with any woman he thought might be ceremonially unclean. The craziest thing he did that year was walk around the streets of Manhattan with a pocket full of pebbles, and he would throw those pebbles at every person he thought was an adulterer, his version of stoning them. Now, Jacob's did this for a whole year. He said it made for a great book, but it wasn't good for his marriage. His wife threatened to leave him if he didn't stop. Now, I found the idea of this book and the ideal behind it amusing because I think that's the approach that a lot of people take when it comes to the Bible. They read some things that they don't really understand or they don't see how it fits into their lives and they just get intimidated. They don't really know what parts of the Bible are to them, what parts of the Bible are for them. And at some point, even if they've tried to read their Bibles, they get lost in the these and the thous and the begets, and they give up. Did you know that 81% of Americans believe that the Bible is a holy book? But did you know that 61% of those same people read it less than once per month? That tells me that people in America still have a high view of the Bible, but they don't think they need to read it. I think that most people, even maybe Bible believers in this room, see the Bible like we see the terms and conditions that you have to read before you install the new software on your phone. We really don't want to get lost in all the jargon. What we'd really like to do is scroll down to the bottom and click I accept and move on. Here's the thing that I'm seeing even in the church. I see people who want to read books about the Bible, who want to listen to messages and music about the Bible, to consume devotionals that have a little Bible passage, to read blogs and watch movies with biblical content. But I'm finding that very few people want to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and actually read and study the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we want that to change this year. We want this to be the year of the Bible at Worth Baptist Church. I want this to be the year that you go from being a spectator, passively consuming the fruit of someone else's study in the Word, to being a student, equipped to read and examine and apply the Word of God yourself. I think this is the year we get every believer in the Bible. We get all of Worth in all the Word. It was J.C. Ryle who said, it takes the whole Bible to make a whole Christian. And that's what we want to do for you this year. We want to get you in the Word. I'm going to tell you this evening, it may seem to you boring that your pastor would tell you to read the Bible. You say, I've never had a pastor tell me that before. I know you have. But I'm going to tell you that there's no emphasis we could make this year that would be better for the health of our church, better for the health of your home, better for the health of your soul than to get you more meaningfully engaged with God's Word. We want to get Worth in the Word. How are we going to do that? Well, this year we want to do three things with the Word of God. Number one, we want to build on God's Word. We are building on God's Word. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. This is the Sermon on the Mount. If you're on the Worth Baptist Church reading plan, you read this today. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Bible says that if you want to have a strong, solid, successful life, you need to build it on the Word of God. And so I want to challenge you this year. Build your career, build your home, build your family, build your finances. Yes, even build your future on the firm foundation of the Word of God. This book and the God it points to is the only firm foundation in an ever-changing world. So I want you this year to build on the Bible. Now, here are four reasons why every believer needs the Bible. First, we need God's Word to be saved. Did you know that? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Anywhere in this world where a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it was because in some way, shape, fashion, or form, they heard the Word of God. Maybe it was someone who knocked on their door and the preacher spoke passages that he had memorized. Maybe they read it in a gospel tract. Maybe they showed up in church and heard someone preach the Word. But the only way to be saved is by hearing the Word of God. Aren't you glad today that God's Word tells you how to be saved? I'm glad it tells us that we're sinners. We need to know that. We need the bad news. I'm glad it tells us that there's a sentence for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God in a real place called hell. But I'm glad the Bible gives us the good news and tells us that there's a Savior and one way to be saved. That if we'll turn from our sins and by faith receive God's Son, He'll forgive our sins and give us eternal life in heaven. Amen. One of the greatest days of my life was the day when my family walked into church for the very first day and an old preacher stood behind the pulpit and he preached God's Word and showed us from the Bible how we could be saved. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the Word of God. It tells us how to be saved. Secondly, we need the Word of God to be changed into His image. One of the most important verses about the Bible is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says here that God's Word is like a mirror. That it doesn't just show you who you are, it shows you who God is. And the longer you stare into the Word of God and see the glory of God, the Spirit of God will transform you into the image of the Son of God. That's what Paul's saying. The Word of God is the only tool we have to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to be changed into His image and we're going to be changed by the book, that means we have to come to it long enough to stare at it. That's what it says here, that we behold as in a glass. It's not just a glance. It's a stare. It means to look intently, the word behold does. So we have to come long enough to behold it. We have to come regularly enough to change from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, a little at a time. How many of you have discovered in your Christian life that becoming like Jesus isn't a sprint, it's a marathon? It happens one day after another as you get in God's Word and get God's Word in you. We have to come long enough to behold. We have to come consistently enough to change a little at a time. We have to come honest and humble enough to let it show us who we really are and who God really is, and then to make the changes that it compels us to make. I think there are a lot of people studying God's Word for information. The Bible was not written for our information. The Bible was written for our transformation. Its sole purpose is to make the children of God like the Son of God. That's why it's there. So I want to ask you in 2017, Can you look back at your devotional life, at your time in the Word, and say, I'm more like Jesus here at the beginning of 2018 than I was at the beginning of 2017 because I had meaningful time in God's Word day after day, and I can honestly say, I'm more like Jesus. I hope you can say that, but if you can't say that, this is the year to make that a reality in your life. Have you ever read the Word? Perhaps you were reading through the gospel records, and you saw something so wonderful, so lovely, so attractive in the person of the Lord Jesus. And you thought to yourself, I'd like to be like that. I thought that just yesterday. I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I had my pen and my piece of paper, and I wrote down in my own devotional life, Jesus didn't just preach loving his enemies. Jesus practiced loving his enemies, and he died to love his enemies. And I got down on my knees in my study, and I poured out my heart to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm not always like the Lord Jesus, but this year I'd like to love my enemies. I'd like to pray for those that persecute me. I'd like to have that same attitude and love towards the lost and towards enemies that Jesus had. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that because of that time in the Word, I'm a little more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. That's how a devotional life works. It's the only tool to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why we're making this emphasis. That's why I'm challenging you tonight to read through God's Word with us as a church this year. The program we're putting in the bulletin and in the book, where you read two chapters a day, is what I like to call the JV program. How many of you ever played on JV growing up? It was a good day when I got moved from the freshman team to the JV team, but I didn't want to stay on the JV team long. You know where I wanted to go? I wanted to go to varsity. So perhaps you're here and you're not having any time in God's Word. Two chapters a day would mean a big deal for you. So go ahead and start on the JV plan and take two chapters a day. But some of you can move up to what I'm calling the varsity plan. You can add one chapter to that. Read Ezra chapter 1 and make your way forward throughout the rest of the year. And if you'll read three chapters a day, you'll read the entire Word of God in this year. Did you know that it would take you less than 10 minutes a day to read through the Bible in a year? If we'd spend as much time reading the Bible as we spend consuming media, we could read through the Word of God, statistics tell us, in only 1 month. It's not a lack of time, it's a lack of motivation. I also want to encourage you pastors and couples to take one of those chapters that you studied in your devotional life, perhaps in the morning, and read it in your home in the evening. I want every dad and father and husband to listen to me tonight. You lead the way. It's your responsibility to be the spiritual leader in your home. I've tried to give you some information about some things I've done in my home to help you have a family devotion time. It doesn't have to be long, and you don't have to preach to your kids. In fact, it'd be better if you didn't. Keep it short. Be wise in the chapter that you pick. That's why there's an Old Testament chapter and a New Testament chapter every day, so that at least one of those chapters would make for a great family devotional time. Keep it short. Pick the right chapter. Be consistent and have it day in and day out. Involve every member of your family. Tonight, I'm challenging our church. I'd like to see 75 families either continue in family devotions or begin family devotions this year. And I'm going to tell you what would happen. If we had 75 families that had family devotions this year, it would change our homes. And by extension, it would change our church. I want to make you a guarantee tonight. I don't make a lot of guarantees in my life. Here's a guarantee. If you will walk through the Word with us this year, with a genuine desire to be like Jesus Christ, and with a hungry heart when you go to God's Word day by day, you will be a changed person 365 days from today. You'll be a better father, a better husband, a better mother, a better daughter, a better son, a better brother, a better sister, a better worker. You'll be a better Christian. I think that if our entire church bought in tonight, and each and every one of us decided to get in the Word this year, we would have a church that was changed day by day this year into the image of Jesus Christ. And out of all the vision that I could cast for our church and all the programs and outreaches we want to have, there is nothing I want more as your pastor than to have a church that is like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the measuring stick of a church, not the attendance, not the giving, not the programs. The measuring stick of a local church is its likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot do that without the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. I love what Amy Carmichael said. She said, "The amazing thing is that everyone who reads the Bible has the same joyful thing to say about it. In every land, in every language, it is the same tale. Where that book is read, not with the eyes only, but with the mind and heart, the life is changed. Sorrowful people are comforted. Sinful people are transformed. Peoples who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book, which is such a mighty power if it gets a chance to work in an honest heart, is in our hands today? I know of no more force in all this world that is more life-changing than the force of the Word of God." Amen. So the Word of God changes us. We need it. We need the Word of God to guide our lives this year. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The 33rd psalm, the psalmist wrote, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." God's heart is to give you light for your path in the upcoming year. And so listen carefully. If you're a single person looking for a mate, if you're a graduate looking for what's next, if you're a widow trying to imagine what life looks like after you've lost your loved one, you will find the will of God in the Word of God. That's where we find guidance for our lives. And if you're trying to lead your life, lead your family, lead your ministry, lead your Sunday school class without a daily interaction in God's Word, you are walking in the darkness. How'd you like to end up in the right destination at the end of 2018? Then let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. We need God's Word to guide our lives. We need God's Word to stand strong in the storms of life. That's what the Lord Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Listen, in 2018, storms will come. And the only way to stand strong in the storms is to build your life on the Bible. Now, you may not be in a storm today. It may be another sunny day on the beach when it comes to your life. But listen, the storms are coming. The Bible guarantees it. And if you wait until the storm to build, you've waited too long to build. You've got to build before the storm. Every single day of my life, I want to open up my Bible and build as deeply as I can so that when the storm hits my life, when the storm hits my family, and yes, when the storm hits this church, I'll be ready to stand. We need the Bible tonight. It's not incidental. It's not supplemental. It's fundamental. We cannot do without it. Let's decide as individuals and as a church family, we're going to build this year on the Word of God. We're building on the Word. We're building. The Greek philosopher Plato said, we must lay hold of the best human opinion in order that, borne by it as on a raft, we may sail over the dangerous sea of life, unless we can find a stronger boat or some sure word of God which will more surely and safely carry us. You know what Plato didn't know? We know. We have some sure word of God. And I can promise you it will surely and safely carry you through 2018 if you'll just build your life upon it. Amen. We're building on the Word. Next, we're growing in God's Word. We don't just want to build on God's Word this year. We want to grow in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter writes, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You know, there's nothing more exciting in all the world than the birth of a new baby. Two of the happiest days of my life were the days that Will and Anna were born. And you parents can remember the indescribable joy that flooded your soul when you looked for the first time at that little baby. You wondered how anything in all the world could be so beautiful, how anything in all the world could be so perfect. Well, it didn't take long for that feeling to wear off, did it? You always love your kids, but you learn pretty quick that they're not perfect. New babies are loud. They're selfish. They're stubborn. And they make a lot of messes. And while you enjoy those early days, it's a good thing, parents, when they start learning to care for themselves. When they start learning how to feed themselves. How to communicate without screaming. Use your words. The best day of all is the day when they get potty trained. Can I get an amen? Now listen, there's nothing more exciting in a church than new Christians, is there? I love every time a soul gets saved at a service. I love that we got to see 54 people pass through our baptistry this year. I'm glad that we have a church that's alive and that's reproducing and seeing new life. But here's what I know. New Christians are a lot like newborn babies. They're sometimes selfish, loud, stubborn. I found they even make a lot of messes. Did you know that that's why God puts new believers in a faith family? A local church, a place where more mature individuals can love them and bring them along and help them grow. And by the way, can I make a point here? Just because you've been in church for 30, 40, 50 years does not mean you've gotten out of your spiritual diapers yet. Spiritual maturity is not about age, it's about stage. It's not how long you've been a Christian, but how far you've come as a Christian. Some of us need to get out of the cradle role and move up to the 29ers this year. Peter, how do you develop new believers? How do you get people from spiritual infancy to being spiritually mature? Peter says you do it through the sincere milk of the Word of God. Babies grow by drinking milk. Christians grow by feasting on the Word of God. And so that's what we need to do this year. We need to grow believers through the Bible. How do we do that? Well, we're going to do it first of all through the preaching of God's Word. Through the preaching of God's Word. The word preach in the Greek is the word keruso. And it means to boldly and authoritatively herald and declare the word of God. I was reading in Matthew 7 this morning. And when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, it's the verses that we didn't read through, right there at the end of the chapter. It says that the crowd was astonished at his doctrine because he taught as one having authority. I want to tell you, that if we're going to grow new believers, we need more than dialogue. We need more than question and answer sessions. We need more than small groups, and some of those things are fine in their place. But if we're going to grow into the believers God wants us to be, we need the bold declaration of the Word of God. That's why I'm excited this year about the 100 messages that I'll bring from this pulpit. On Sunday mornings, we're in a series entitled The Big Picture from Genesis to Revelation. If you weren't able to be here this Sunday morning, I hope you'll be back next Sunday morning. It is going to be a transforming series. Join with us as we walk through the Word and see 40 of the most significant stories and passages in all the Bible. There is nothing I could do for you this year as your pastor that would be more beneficial or helpful to you than to teach you how to see Jesus in the Word of God. Me teaching you 10 steps to a great marriage will not be nearly as beneficial to your marriage as helping you grasp the 10,000 steps that Jesus took to you. So we want to see Jesus in the book and be transformed as we stare at him. On Sunday evenings, we're going to continue our series in the book of Acts, The Church on a Mission. I'm going to tell you, we've had some powerful Sunday nights as we've come to the book of Acts, and you won't want to miss as we conclude that series this year. Later on in the summer, I'm excited about a series I'll preach called Through Many Dangers, Toils, and Snares, learning how to walk with God through the tough times in life. On Wednesday nights, we're going to walk verse by verse through books of the Bible. Now, would you listen to me? I love Sunday mornings. There's a buzz and an excitement in the air to have the building packed. I love Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are the real growth services. I'm going to tell you my strategy. I'm sure you've figured it out by now. Most Sunday mornings, I'm trying to put the peanut butter as far on the lowest shelf as I possibly can so lost people can get it. It's milk for new believers. It's even the gospel for the lost. But if you want meat to help you mature, you need to be here on Sunday nights. You need to be here on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to tell you, if you're an adult, there's a great place for you here in the auditorium. But you need to be bringing your kids to church on Wednesday nights. We have a wonderful Master Clubs program, and they're doing more than playing games. They're learning God's Word, and they're hearing messages from God's Word every Wednesday night. Amen. You need to bring your teenagers to the youth department. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think there's a greater youth department in all the state of Texas than the one we have right now here at Worth Amen. Baptist Church. Amen. And they're going to have a lot of fun. Your teens are going to love coming to church on Wednesday nights, but they're going to get up in that upstairs room. Brother Tony's going to open the Bible, and he's going to preach the paint off the walls. You know why? Because that's what they need to grow. They don't need to be entertained. They need the Word of God. So you get your teenagers here on Wednesday night, they're going to hear from God's Word. I'm excited about Sunday mornings. I'm excited about Sunday nights. I'm excited about Wednesday nights as we move into 2018. And we have two very special preaching events for you this year to get you under the preaching of God's Word. We're looking forward to the Mount of Byram Conference coming up here in just a few days, at January the 15th through the 18th. If you've never been to this conference before, Mount of Byram is bringing in some incredible preachers. Some of the greatest preachers from all over the nation, some of the greatest missionaries from all over the world, and they're going to stir up our heart for the nations. Here's how I look at the Mount of Byram meeting in my own personal life. I view this meeting as an opportunity right at the beginning of the year to pull apart from the world and dedicate a week to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I'm always a better Christian when it's over. I'm always in love more with Jesus when it's over. And I'm always more ready to go after the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ when it's over. You be here this year for the Mount of Byram Conference and you'll grow, I can promise you. There's another event that we're bringing back I'm very excited about. It's our Bible conference. We're going to hold our Bible conference November the 4th through the 7th, and we're going to have Brother Sam Davison and Brother Joe Arthur preaching for us. Instead of having two preachers on those evening nights, on those weekday evenings, we're going to have one preacher a night. We're going to give them some time to preach, and we're going to give you the opportunity to go home and get those kids in bed so they can get up and go to school and be back the next night for the next night of the Bible conference. I'm praying that God would use this meeting to bring a spiritual awakening not only to our church, but to other preachers and other churches all over the Metroplex. And I hope you'll start praying now that our Bible conference will be the greatest preaching conference we've ever had here at Worth Baptist Church. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul commended the church at Thessalonica for the way they heard the preaching of the word. He said, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." If you will come to church this year ready to receive the preaching, not as the word of a man, but as the word of God himself, it will do a powerful work in your life. Sometimes it'll comfort you. And every once in a while, we need to feel good when we leave church. But sometimes it will challenge you and convict you. And when you go to church ready to receive it, the word of God will never return void in your life. God hasn't promised to bless our programs. He hasn't promised to bless our personalities. But he has promised to bless the preaching of his word. So you be here for it. Let's pray for a great year as we preach the word. Not only are we going to grow through the preaching of the word, we're going to grow this year through the teaching of the word. Did you know that every week here at Worth Baptist Church, we have several opportunities for you to be taught the word of God in a very practical and personal way? Now, this night isn't just about casting new vision. It's also about talking about some of the things that we're doing that are really working. Let me tell you, one of the things that's really working here at Worth is our Sunday school program. I know churches all over America are canceling Sunday school. I want you to know ours went through the roof in 2017. Amen. We have 22 classes teaching God's word to people in different life stages. And if you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing an opportunity to have God's word practically applied to your life and to develop some relationships with some people who really care about you. I'm sorry, I need more than just a handshake on the way in and way out. I need some people here to get involved and invested in my life. And you do too. That's what Sunday school is all about. I'm excited about a new series we're starting in many of our classes next week for the adults called How to Study the Bible. This is a series that I personally worked on. I started studying the Bible seriously when I was a sophomore in college. It was because I was given some tools in a class that helped take my Bible study to another level and brought the Word of God to life for me. And this is an attempt by me to give you some of those tools. It's a practical series, and I think it's going to help every Bible student grow in your ability to really get in the Word of God and get something out of it. Now, I said it earlier, but did you know that many, if not most, or all of our Sunday school classes grew in 2017? Some of them have grown to capacity. That means they don't have a chair, they don't have a place to put another person. Did you know that we don't have one adequate room anywhere on our campus right now to start a new Sunday school class? And I can think of four that are needed right now at this moment. Now, we've been working, the deacons and I, on some short-term solutions to some of our parking problems and some of our Sunday school problems. And there are some short-term solutions we're going to bring to the table in the next few months to help alleviate some of that pressure. But I believe, and I really think, that there are some more long-term solutions needed. I believe we need to expand our facilities so that we can keep growing and more people can get under the teaching of God's Word. And this year, you're going to see some real concrete plans to that end. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this year, we were praying seriously about a building program. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if our church stalled in its growth, stalled in its ability to teach the Word of God to people because we didn't have the faith to move forward when God wanted us to move forward? And so that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to pray seriously about expanding our opportunities to teach the Word of God. Another important thing we do to teach is our First Steps class. This is something we started recently. It meets two times a year with new members and those who are visiting our church. In that First Steps class, I explain the doctrine of our church, the mission of our church, how people can get involved in the life and ministry of our church. That class has been incredibly successful in assimilating new members and moving them from being spectators to participants in the work of God. Every study shows us that if a new member does not get involved in a ministry within 6 months, you lose them. And that First Steps class has been incredibly successful in getting people plugged into the life and ministry of our church. If you've never taken it, we have one coming up in the middle of February. Even if you've been here 20 years, it'd be good for you to get into the First Steps class. Another thing that we do to teach that is so important is our continued discipleship program. Now, our theme has changed this year. We've moved from make disciples to Worth in the Word. But our mission has not changed. Worth Baptist Church exists to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. Last year, we had 202 people complete the continued discipleship curriculum. Isn't that awesome? And every week around our campus, disciplers are sitting down on a one-on-one basis and teaching new believers and new converts and disciples about the fundamentals of the faith. What does the Bible teach about the character of God? What about the person and work of Christ? What is a local church, and why should I get involved, and why should I make a disciple? You need to know tonight that discipleship is part of the DNA of Worth Baptist Church. And I want to encourage you that if you've been in a Sunday school class, you've been coming to church, but you have never been personally discipled, you ought to go to your Sunday school teacher next week and say, I want somebody to sit down with God's Word and show me on a one-on-one basis how I can be a better follower of Jesus Christ. Getting continued discipleship. So what are we going to do? We're building on God's Word. We're growing in God's Word through the preaching, through the teaching of God's Word. And lastly, we are going with God's Word. We're going with God's Word. Would you listen to me? We're not getting in the Bible this year so that we can sit around in little circles and like a group of Pharisees study the Bible so we can learn all the ins and outs and the particulars. We're studying the Bible this year so that we can get the seed out of the barn, so that we can take the Bible to a lost and dying world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to build on the Word, and yes, I want to grow in the Word, but for the purpose that we might go with the Word to the world. The world needs the Word, and we're going to do it this year. How are we going to go with God's word? Well, I want to challenge you tonight to go personally. That's where everything begins. In your bag, we put a gospel tract. I want you to take that tract this week, and I want you to remember that the waiter at the restaurant you eat at has an eternal destiny. The girl who checks you out at the grocery store has an eternal destiny. The neighbors in your neighborhood and the co-workers at your business are going to live forever somewhere. They have eternal destinies, and what they need is the word of God. Someone has said that the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. I don't know what your goals are personally for 2018. Maybe you want to lose a little weight. Many of us could stand to do that. Maybe you want to put a little money back in savings or go on a nice vacation. All of those things are fine. But if you have not set a goal to win somebody to Jesus Christ this year, what good are you doing for the kingdom of God? We can have all the outreach programs in the world, but nothing is more effective than a Christian filled with the Spirit of God, with the passion for souls, going out into the world where they live with the gospel. Go personally. Be a soul winner this year. On March 11th, we're having what we call Gospel Day. In reality, every Sunday around here is Gospel Day, but this is a day we enlist you in some exciting outreach opportunities. I'll spend some time that evening going with you or going over with you some personal soul-winning principles. I'm going to teach you very simply how I lead a soul to Christ. It's our goal this year to enlist 200 of our members in spring outreach. That means we're going to have a real increase in involvement. I want you tonight to be one of those 200. Let me tell you something. You don't have to wait until March if you don't want to. You can show up on Saturday morning and go house to house with me. You say, Pastor Jewett, I can't be a witness because I don't know what to do. Well, here's good news. After we get through with the series on how to study the Bible, we're going to have a 5-week series on how to lead a soul to Christ. We want to equip every member of our church to be a soul winner. I'm convinced that our lack of passion for souls, though, has less to do with information and much more to do with motivation. D.L. Moody said, when a man is filled with the word of God, you cannot keep him still. If a man has got the word, he must speak or die. And if the soul-winning fervor of our church were to ever wane or die, it wouldn't matter how beautiful our buildings were, it wouldn't matter how organized our programs were or how excellent the music was or how polished the preaching was, this church would forfeit its right to exist. Above all things, the main thing is a heart for souls. And we got to keep the main thing the main thing. I want you to make the commitment tonight that you're going to win a soul and make a disciple in 2018. Someone got you the gospel. Now it's your turn. Let's go personally. Not only should we go personally, we need to go locally. The Great Commission begins right here with our Jerusalem. So what are we doing as a church to get the gospel to the lost that are right around us? How silly it would be to go around the world when we wouldn't even go next door. So what are we doing this year? Well, it all begins with our weekly outreach programs. It starts with our Saturday morning house-to-house visitation. Let me tell you something, folks. Going door-to-door and telling people about Jesus Christ still works. Amen. I saw a young man here this morning who was at home one Saturday. Two of our ladies knocked on that person's door, led him to Christ, and he has been here 6 weeks in a row. Amen. I was standing in the foyer this morning, shake hands, and Brother Tony brought a visitor to me. I asked his name and how he heard about the church. He said, somebody put a flyer in my door yesterday, and I'm here today. I'm here to tell you, going door to door, getting out in the neighborhoods with the gospel of Jesus Christ still works. We just need more laborers. We just need more people to do it. Amen. Another important outreach ministry of our church is the Ladera Palms Refugee Ministry. This is a ministry God has grown and blessed in a great way, and you've heard me talk about it many times before. God has literally brought the nations half a mile from Worth Baptist Church. They just had a big Christmas party. They had over 60 young people there and several parents. The kind of people who would never walk in a Baptist church on the darkest day of their life, but because someone loved them, because someone's worked with them, because someone has cared for them, they were here and celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. How about that? If you're looking for a place to get involved, I can't think of a more important place, a more strategic place than the Ladera Palms Refugee Ministry. I've got good news tonight about our good news clubs. Those are elementary school Bible clubs that we hold in public schools. Last year, in 2017, we began the year with 5 clubs. Going into this spring, we're going to have 10 clubs. If you love to work with children, I want to challenge you. Give up an afternoon for 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row. Get to a public school and get the gospel to some kids who would never hear it if we weren't there. Every week of this last year, one of those workers came up to me and told me about 10 or 15 or 20 children that had prayed to receive Jesus Christ in those good news clubs. That's a place for you to get involved. How about the good work that's happening in our Hispanic ministry? We praise the Lord for what God's doing. Did you know that there are 1.7 million Hispanics living in DFW? Did you know that 1 out of every 5 people in Tarrant County speak Spanish? You know what that tells me? That if we're going to reach the Metroplex, we must reach Hispanics. I praise the Lord for the good work Brother Oscar Gonzalez is doing leading our Hispanic department. Their attendance grew steadily last year. They had an average of 45 to 55 and a high day of 132. Last year on Vision Day, I stood and told you we had the goal to get Brother Oscar full time. And I'm glad that on Tuesday, January the 2nd, Oscar Gonzalez came to work full time for Worth Baptist Church. Well, ladies and gentlemen in the Hispanic department, I know you're in here today. We're making an investment in this ministry by faith as a church because we believe in the mission of reaching Hispanics. We believe in the good work you're doing. And this is no time for you to let up. No time for you to get comfortable because you have a full-time person caring for you. Now is the time to put the pedal to the metal and press on and reach more Hispanics for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for that great ministry. We have a great outreach in our media ministry. Hundreds and thousands of people downloading messages last year. We're in 5 nursing homes. Our RU ministry grew exponentially last year. Every week, we're on college campuses and at Odie Wyatt High School. We're giving food and clothing to the poor at our food pantry. We're taking lunches to first responders, and we're blessing local teachers. We're getting involved in community events. Every week, there are hundreds involved in outreach ministry, and we need you to get involved. Whatever your talents, whatever your gifts, there's a place for you to get involved to help us reach Fort Worth and the Metroplex with the gospel. We got to go locally. Let me give you very quickly some important outreach events coming up. February the 18th is O.D. Wyatt Day. Wasn't it awesome this last year to see almost 100 folks from O.D. Wyatt in one of our Sunday morning services? They all heard the gospel, they got a wonderful meal, and they left here feeling loved. And guess what? They're coming back this February. Let's pray for a great day. Sunday, April the 1st, is Easter Sunday. Yes, it happens to fall on April Fool's this year. We're going to kick off our celebration of Easter on Good Friday with the Living Last Supper drama. If you remember last year, we held a drama on Friday night for the first time. We didn't know what to expect, but we had a packed house and souls were saved. We're praying for an even greater Easter outreach this year, and I hope you'll start praying even now that all of our parking lots and all of our buildings would be packed to capacity with people hearing the gospel on Easter Sunday. A new event we're adding this year is I Love America Sunday on June the 24th. Instead of holding a midweek rally close to July 4th this year, we're going to hold it on a Sunday well before July 4th, before everybody goes out of town. Brother Tim Lee is going to be back with us. We'll have special music from our in-house musicians. We're going to have a patriotic picnic on Sunday night after church. And I have in my heart a very important attendance milestone that I'm praying that we'll cross that day. So don't go on vacation before June the 25th. You plan to be here June the 24th as we celebrate I Love America Sunday. October the 14th is Open House Day. Did you know that at last year's open house, we had 801 people on our campus? Here's what I'm praying for this year. I'm praying for 900 people on our campus on Open House Sunday. Let's pray God gives us a great day that day. Now, there's a brand new outreach event that we're adding in Christmas, and I'm very excited about it. We're calling it In Bethlehem Inn. I want you to picture a dinner theater complete with a delicious dinner, a drama, and some beautiful Christmas music. We're going to hold it on 3 nights, December the 13th through the 15th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And instead of holding several different Christmas programs on Sunday night throughout the Christmas season, We're going to put all of our energy and all of our work into 3 nights we hope will turn into a massive outreach event for our community. Think about some of the large-scale Christmas events that you have been to at big churches. We're going to make a massive investment of money and time and energy and resources, and I'm praying that we'll have 500 unsaved or unchurched people on our campus December the 13th through the 15th for In Bethlehem Inn. Now, it's going to require hundreds of volunteers to pull it off. People to make costumes, people to serve meals, people to be involved in music and drama and in decorations and construction. And we're going to start early, and we're going to do it first class, and we're going to pray that God would give us a great harvest of souls during the Christmas season 2018. Last year at Worth, we had over 100 saved. 54 followed Christ in believers' baptism, and it was a good year. But there's more that can be done. There's more that can be done. And we need to recommit tonight to getting the gospel to the city of Fort Worth. There's one more place we're going to go with the word, and that's to the world. We need to go globally. 2017 was an outstanding red letter year for missions at Worth Baptist Church. We supported 171 missionaries and gave over $560,000 to missions. Now, by my records, that's the largest year our church has ever given when it comes to missions, certainly in my last 10 years. We had a record faith promise offering, and a record number of people went on short-term mission trips last year. I have every intention of taking on more missionaries in 2018, and I'm praying that God would allow us to go well beyond the $600,000 mark for missions. So I want to say thank you for your faithful giving. Let's keep it up. There are 3.1 billion people in this world still unreached. They need the gospel, and we have the money to get it to them. This year, we're offering 5 short-term mission trips. We're going to New York City with MIT, to Guatemala with Ron Maggard, to Mexico with the Coker family, to Jericho Springs, Missouri with Rob and Gail Thomas, and to the Rio Grande Valley again with Danny and Michelle Jones. We've tried hard to design a trip for every budget, and to give a trip that would have a place for every talent and gift. I think this ought to be the year that we send over 100 of our members to the nations, don't you? Amen. I'm convinced that spending 2% of your year, and that's all a week is, spending 2% of your year on a foreign mission field will change the way you live the other 98% of the year. Last year, our members through short-term missions saw hundreds come to Christ, and you could too, if you'd go globally with the word of God. C.H. Spurgeon said, if there be any one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at a white heat, it's concerning missions. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. This isn't the time to let up with missions. Yes, we have needs here at our church, and yes, there are needs in Fort Worth, but let's put the pedal to the metal and do more for the nations this year than we've ever done before. The word needs the world, so we've got to go personally. We've got to go locally. We've got to go globally. I want to close tonight by reminding you of the great power of the word of God. There are seven metaphors used in the Bible for the Bible. The Bible tells us that the word of God is a sword that pierces. Not a Q-tip to tickle, but a sword to pierce. The Bible is a mirror that reveals. It's milk that feeds. It's a lamp that shines. It's a hammer that breaks hard hearts in pieces. It's a fire that consumes and burns in the bones of those with a passion for God. It's a seed that reproduces and brings forth fruit and will not return void. So here's my challenge to you, church. Let's wield the sword. Let's hold forth the mirror. Let's serve the milk. Let's hold up the lamp. Let's swing the hammer. Let's spread the flame. Let's scatter the seed. Let's make this the year every believer gets in the Bible. Let's make this the year our families gather around the Word every day. Let's make this the year you become a true Bible student. Let's make this the year you learn how to get the seed out of the barn and use it to win a soul. Let's build on the Word. Let's grow in the Word. And let's go with the Word to a lost and dying world. Amen. Worth in the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the vision that your word clearly lays out for us. It is a great need to be personally in the Bible. It's certainly a great need to lead our family in the Bible. Perhaps the greatest need of all is that there's a lost and dying world, and most of them don't even have a Bible. And so, Father, I pray that you would do a great work in our church this year when it comes to the Word of God. And I pray that our people will buy in and be all in and get behind the vision and serve you with passion and tenacity and consistency this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand to your feet? Tonight I'm asking you, as an individual, to make the commitment to read the Word of God this year. I'm asking you, parents and couples, to make the commitment to continue or to start having family devotions. I'm asking you to get more involved in helping us get the Word of God to the world. And here's what I want you to say tonight. Pastor Gillett, I'm re-upping. I'm ready for another year. I'm all in for the vision. We're ready to get worth in the Word. And if you're ready to re-up, you're ready to make a commitment, we'd ask you to come tonight. Brother Johnson, lead us in a verse.